This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. USDA's newly released export data delayed by the government shutdown shows sharp year-over-year increases in corn and wheat movement, corn exports through mid-October, reaching 10.684 million metric tons, up 58% from last year, while wheat sales totaling 11.355 million tons, up 23%. Soybean exports falling to 6.726 million tons, down 32% annually. Buyer commitments also reflecting the trend. Corn up 37%, wheat up 22%, soybeans down 38% from a year earlier. China is on the books for purchasing 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans by the end of the year, and purchase tenders are slowly coming in each week. But Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says he wonders if there'll be enough to meet the mark and what impact those purchases will have on price.
You see this continuing. Are they going to buy? What are the values? Are the previous promises still in play, like mentioned before by USDA Secretary Rollins or the Treasury Secretary Bessent about this 12 million tons before the end of the calendar year, and how much that would still leave for buying that could increase the price here and continue the bullishness, or could set us up for a letdown, certainly.
U.S. soybean sales to China appear to be moving forward. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says farmer support is also nearing a decision.
They've already put in a purchase order. We've already started shipping soybeans their way, almost 1.5 million metric tons. We have every indication they will continue to buy soybeans, sorghum, et cetera. Every sign is their commitment remains true that they will indeed buy or purchase 12 million metric tons or put the order in. It doesn't mean we'll move 12 million metric tons by the end of December, but it means that those orders will come in according to their commitment.
Rollins says USDA finalizing details of farmer assistance tied to the ongoing trade negotiation.
We are looking at the aid right now. We have always said it is to solve for, to mitigate anything under these new trade negotiations. Every day that changes, and that's what we're working. So we'll have an announcement probably in the next week or two on what that's going to look like.
American Farm Bureau Federation keeping pressure on the administration as farmers continue to battle high input costs and falling commodity prices. AFBF President Zippy Duvall recently speaking with Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins about urgent needs within the farm economy.
Yes, we had a short discussion on the phone about the importance of transparency in pricing for poultry farmers and how important the recent improvements to the system are to our poultry farmers. We also talked about the need for economic assistance for farmers and ranchers.
Duvall says Secretary Rollins understands the pressures that farmers are under and remains open to additional inputs on poultry transparency rules and possible aid packages.
Farmers are facing negative margins for many of their crops as supply costs remain very high and commodity prices have come crashing down. Economic assistance isn't intended to help farmers make a profit or even to make their balance sheet whole. It's simply meant to help them weather the storm and make it to the next growing season.
Duvall says the Farm Bureau will continue engaging the administration on both poultry pricing transparency and potential economic support as farmers push through the difficult financial conditions. According to the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council, annual corn harvest quality report, U.S. farmers harvested a record larger corn crop this fall. The amount of broken corn and foreign material was the lowest in the 15-year history of this report. Over 87% of the corn samples evaluated met the requirements for U.S. number one grade, and 98% was fit for U.S. number two grade corn. Over 600 corn samples were taken in the 12 largest corn production states. The latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer shows farmer sentiment improving in November as producers respond to renewed optimism surrounding U.S.-China trade. The index rose to 139, driven largely by stronger expectations for future conditions. Purdue's Dr. Michael Langemeyer says the timing of the survey capturing producer reactions to China-related trade development.
I wasn't surprised at the jump. You never know how big the jump's going to be. But the October survey It was mid-month of October, and it was before the trade agreement information related to China. And so this survey took that into account. And I think that was why the barometer jumped.
The survey also showed declines in the share of farmers who expect U.S. ag exports to fall over the next 5 years, a shift researchers say is tied directly to improving trade prospects with China.
This index tends to be highly correlated with the index of current conditions. That index was flat this month, and this one increased quite a bit. And so that was a bit of a surprise. And I point to exports, you know, the positive news regarding to trade agreement with China, I think it was very positive for this index.
With year-end approaching, farm business management instructors urging producers to get their tax planning in order. Northland Community and Technical College farm business management instructor Betsy Jensen says this is one of the busiest and most important periods of the year for farmers working to close out the books.
1099 limits are still $600. They go up next year, but for 2025, you still need to get that 1099 sent out for anyone who earns $600 or more. Another thing I want to caution people against is the QBI. Now, we're getting letters. It's a qualified business income. You guys hopefully are getting some letters from your co-ops about what that deduction is, what they're passing through to you. Please keep track of those. They will be listed on your the 1099 that you receive from your co-op after January. But in order to do accurate tax planning, you really have to have those numbers. It is typically a very large deduction.
Jensen says challenging margins this year mean many farms struggling to show positive income.
Here is my warning to every farmer. You need to pay a little bit of income taxes every year. I know on an accrual basis, we are going to have negative net farm income this year. But from a cash standpoint, I still want farmers to try and have a positive income. So if that means postponing, maybe you don't prepay for seed like you always have in the past. Or maybe you can postpone a bill that was due in December or January. Maybe you want to pay that in January. There's a few things that you can do. This is the first time in a long time that we've actually struggled with how to get a few guys to have positive net farm income.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. A major leadership change is ahead for the American Sugar Beet Growers Association. Executive Vice President and CEO Luther Marquardt will retire at the end of 2026 after 44 years with the organization. ASGA President Neil Rockstedt says Marquardt's influence on the industry cannot be overstated.
He's certainly been an asset to the sugar beet industry and all the sugar beet families across the United States. When you think about all the changes that he's seen and uniting the sugar beet industry under one umbrella with the American Sugar Beet Growers Association, lots of things for Luther to be proud of, and as growers, we certainly are proud of him and gladly back his decision and celebrate his future plans of retirement a little over a year from now.
Rockstedt says the next leader must reflect the same values Marquardt brought to the role.
You know, I think the qualities that Luther exhibits that we would like to see in every future leader, not only in sugar beets, but in all of our organizations, is simply the character and the drive and the passion for the people that they represent, which are the family farmers across the United States that provide food for everyone. So it's not a rare quality, but it's a quality that Luther most certainly exemplified.
The formal search for Marquardt's successor begins early next year with Minnesota-based attorney Bruce Clavin overseeing the process. Nutrien Ag Solutions once again tops the Crop Life ranking of the largest ag retailers in the country. The top five rounds out with Helena Agri Enterprises, Growmark, Simplot Grower Solutions, and CHS. Others on the Crop Life 100 list from the region include AgTegra Cooperative at Aberdeen, South Dakota, Hefty Seed at Baltic, South Dakota, Ag Partners Co-op at Goodhue, Minnesota, Central Farm Service at Truman, Minnesota, and Valley United Co-op at Reynolds, North Dakota. South Dakota Soybean Association hosting the 21st annual Ag Outlook Conference and Trade Show in Sioux Falls coming up on Thursday. Executive Director Jerry Schmitz shares a look at the full schedule of events.
The first thing that attendees will notice is that we have about 65 trade show partners, folks that are bringing the newest and greatest things that they'll have for 2026. And then we'll also have some folks speaking, such as Jana Voss and Bobby Thury about succession planning. Eric Snodgrass will talk about things that are happening, high impact meteorology, and we do have a lunch at noon for participants. And then afternoon, we've got Brandy Buzzard from Buzzard's Beat talking about agriculture's Listerosaurus, the adapting that we need to do for the next era.
Schmitz expects the current ag economic landscape to dominate discussions.
Price is probably for commodities, soybeans in particular, but also input prices, because input prices have gone up so much and commodity prices haven't followed them up. I think that probably is top of mind for most farmers. Folks can find more information at sdsoybean.org. We prefer that they register online if they can do that so that we know how to prepare for the number of folks that are coming, but they can also register at the door.
Total Farm Marketing market analyst Brandon Doherty says the cattle markets are trading sharply higher and they're trading on technicals today.
At one point, feeder cattle were limit up. They've since backed off of that high, and so we're kind of closer to the middle of the trading range there for the day. Live cattle also closer to the middle of their trading range for the day. So I think it's largely a technical bounce. We saw where we bottomed out on the chart three or four sessions ago, and we broke through some technical resistance to the upside, so maybe triggering some future some futures buying interest there. We did see that box beef closed higher yesterday. Choice cuts were up 207, select up 683. So that's probably also providing a little bit of support in the cattle market.
Total Farm Marketing market analyst Brandon Doherty. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X, all there at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley weighing in on Europe's decision to delay its deforestation-free regulation, a policy he says closely mirrors California's Prop 12 by imposing rules outside its borders. Grassley argues the measure would create costly red tape for U.S. exporters, particularly soybean shippers, if implemented as written.
The concern is that U.S. companies exporting soybeans to Europe will face miles of red tape and paperwork to comply with the regulation. So it's very good news to hear that the EU is continuing to delay this overreaching regulation and roll back burdens on small companies. I hope that U.S. Trade Representative Greer and others in the Trump administration can press the EU to continue easing this regulation moving forward.
Grassley also addressing ongoing uncertainty around farmer assistance, saying updates from the administration have slowed in recent weeks.
And hearing less than we did a few weeks ago on the $20 to $14 billion that they were planning to do. Now, maybe the reason we aren't hearing it is I think there isn't enough money in the Commodity Credit Corporation to reach $10 to $14 billion. Congress is going to have to appropriate money. I'm not on the Appropriations Committee, so I can't tell you how it's moving forward. But I don't hear any effort from the administration that they're still considering doing that.
Taking a look at the markets right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat. March, we're up 5 3/4 right now at 581 3/4. In Chicago, March is up 5 1/2, 540 1/2. In Kansas City, March up 5 1/2, 532 1/4. Dease corn is up 5 1/4 right now, 438. The March is up 4 1/2 at 449 3/4. January soybeans were down 2 3/4 cents, 1125 1/4. March down 2 1/4 at 1135 and three quarters. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.